الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح من تزكى سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in his glorious book, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Verily, the one who attains tazkiyah is the one who succeeded. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses قَدْ. قَدْ is here for certainty, for those of you who've studied the Arabic language. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically saying that the person who succeeds is the person who purifies themselves. Now, the success that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in this particular ayah, according to the Mufassireen, it means a permanent success. So there's successes that we attain in this world, those are temporary. Today you do something well, tomorrow you're not able to do it as well. Today you attain some state, tomorrow that state can be removed. You get a new job, you eventually get fired. All the successes in this world are not lasting, they're temporary. But falah refers to that success after which there can never be failure. Or in other ways, put in another way, that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after which there is no disconnection. Or, put another way, that entrance into Jannah after which there is no exit from that paradise. So we can create paradises for ourselves in this world, but that's not falah. That's not the success. Similarly, we can get connected with this world, with Allah in this world, but still, there are ups and downs within our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising falah, permanent, absolute, unconditional success to that person who, man tazakka, that person who attains purity of their soul. That's what tazkiyah means, to purify one's soul. Now, there's two ways by which a person attains tazkiyah. And actually, tazkiyah is mandatory. It's considered a mandatory component by which we'll enter Jannah. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, ذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ مَنْ تَزَكَّى, referring to Jannah. That this is the reward for the person who attains tazkiyah. So for us, tazkiyah is a goal for which there can be no compromise. Every one of us has to have this goal in mind of attaining tazkiyah. Now there's two ways in which tazkiyah will occur. There's the easy way and there's the hard way. Or you can say, there's doing it in this world or having it done to you by Allah on the Day of Judgment. In the end, a person who takes the kalima, they become a Muslim. When they become a Muslim, their home becomes Jannah. It's their inherited right. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Jannah as the inheritance of the children of Adam alayhi salam. So it's the inheritance of the Muslim to enter Jannah. Once somebody takes the Shahada, they'll enter Jannah. Now the question is, are they going to go directly? Meaning, are they going to purify themselves in this world so that they can enter Jannah? Or are they going to be purified by Allah in the hereafter so that they can enter Jannah? There's two options now. There's only two things that remain. Either a person inculcates the Qur'an and the Sunnah and the Sharia in their life in this world to attain tazkiyah and to purify themselves so that they can eventually enter Jannah in the hereafter. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will purify them in his own way in the hereafter. So there's only two ways. The person who attains tazkiyah in this world, they do so by inculcating the Qur'an and the Sunnah into their life. That's the way you attain tazkiyah. It's by design. The deen is made to create tazkiyah within a person. In fact, this was one of the major reasons why the Prophet ﷺ was sent. كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْكُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. Just as we have sent among you a messenger from yourselves who recites upon you the verses, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, and he purifies them. So, it's the second responsibility of the Prophet ﷺ. Of the four that come in that ayah, it's the second responsibility listed of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that he can purify the people that were with him. And the means that he used to purify the sahaba that were around him is called the sunnah, right? They looked at how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught them, what he told them to do, what he told them not to do, They preserved it in the book. It was essentially the living version of the Quran, which was then preserved within the Sunnah. So the Sunnah is the first and foremost way by which we attain purity of soul within this world. So we have two choices. Either we do it in this world, right? We took the Shahada, we can take the Sunnah seriously. We sit in the company of those people who have learned the Sunnah. We sit in the company of those people who teach the Sunnah. We sit in the company of those people who actually analyze us and tell us the truth about ourselves. Or we just live the life that we want to live in this world, and then we pay for it on the Day of Judgment by being purified there. And the purification that occurs on the Day of Judgment is going to be hellfire. There's no doubt about it. When we say, مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, the Prophet ﷺ makes the statement, مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, whoever says La ilaha illallah, he enters Jannah. It's clear among the mufassirin of this hadith that that doesn't mean that they enter Jannah no matter what. Some people will enter Jannah directly. Other people will enter Jannah after being purified in the hellfire. And it's clear in hadith that the last person to enter Jannah will be one of those types of people who will just be beaten down completely in the hellfire and then eventually will enter Jannah after he gets purified. So there's two ways to get purified. Either we take it seriously in this world, or we're going to get it in the next world. Allah will put us in the hellfire for some period of time to purify our hearts, because Jannah by default is a place for someone who is pure. You have to have tazkiyah. You have to have your soul purified before you can enter Jannah. So we only have two choices. We do it here, or it's going to be done for us there. So it's so much easier. That's why I'm saying there's an easy way and there's a hard way. It's easy in this world. This world is nothing. It's just 10, 15, 20 years. There's nothing in this world. There's no reality in this world. This is the place to do it. That's why this world was created. So that we can have an opportunity to purify ourselves here rather than there. Imagine. So if we undergo some difficulty here, we may not eat as much. Well, what about the hunger of hellfire? It's months upon end. So we may undergo some difficulty. We may not drink the things that we're used to drinking. Well, who wants to drink the pus and blood that's fed to the people in hellfire? So we may not live in the house that we want to live in here. Well, how are we going to live in that maqam and bayt? You know, that tight room that Allah creates for the people in hellfire, that they begin to just scream for to be perished. And Allah says, don't scream to be annihilated once. Scream to be annihilated over and over again, but there is no annihilation on this day. So it totally makes sense economically and in every rational way that we purify ourselves in this world rather than get purified in that world. And that's why it takes a severe honesty within ourselves and within the people around us, that we actually look at our situation and we realize that no matter how deep we think the situation is in this world, there's no reality and no permanence to it. We might think our job is the most important thing. It's not. We might think our relationship with a particular individual is so important and we may be breaking the Sharia. It's not. We might think our wealth is something important. It's not. In reality, it's just all there so that we can purify ourselves in this world so that we don't get purified in the hereafter. We don't want to be the people that are purified in the hereafter. Because we want to enter straight into Jannah. Those people who attained tazkiyah within this world. Now, as a corollary from that, this is the purpose of why we gather together every Sunday. Two things to realize, actually, as a corollary. One is, someone wrote me an email. So in this email, the person says, I heard that one of the people who comes and spends time with you, they're a manager in this restaurant that serves haram food. So he wrote me this email, this long email. That this person that comes and spends time with you, he's so bad, he's a manager in this restaurant that sells haram food. So I looked at that email and I said, of course he is. I mean, that's what you expect. When we come together, we're not coming together because we're the most righteous people in the community and we need to sit and do extra purification. We're the worst people in the community. We should look at ourselves as that. We are the most sick people in the community. That should be the attitude, that there are all these people out there. They don't need to come to this gathering because they are, alhamdulillah, Allah has put them so close to Him that they can just come into the masjid so rarely, but they get close to Allah, and we sit here and a tear doesn't fall despite the fact that we come here every day. Or we come here once a week. Or we sit and do dhikr so regularly. It's not a sign of our greatness. It's a sign of our sickness. I mean, who is the man who shows you a list of medications and says, look, I'm taking 25 medications. Nobody brags about 25 medications. This is medication. These are extra sessions. This is medication. One time there was a man, there was a sheikh in Lahore, and one of the students of that sheikh came, And he complained to the sheikh. And he said, you know, your student, he does zina. I know for a fact that one of your students is doing zina. So the sheikh started crying. And he said, this is a laundromat. If dirty clothes aren't going to come, then what do you expect to come? That's exactly the analogy. This is a laundromat. We are dirty people. That's why we have to sit and do this. That's why we come together weekly and try to remember Allah. That's why we spend all this time doing dhikr and trying to learn, because we are so hard-headed and our hearts are so solid that we need to do all this extra stuff and it still doesn't enter in our heart. It's our own deficiency. We should never look at other people and think that we're above them because they don't come to the masjid or they don't come to this type of gathering. It's a sign of our own weakness, that you have to look at yourself like that. That's what our mashayikh teach, that when you even look at a dog, you should consider yourself worse than a dog. That's what we've been taught. And that's an important thing to keep in mind. So this tazkiyah that we try to attain in this type of gathering, this is because of our own impurity, not because of our greatness, number one. And the second corollary is that sometimes some of you will come, or I may say something to some of you, which you may not like, but it's my responsibility to do so. So you may be in a situation, and you may come and ask me for some advice, or maybe one of the other brothers for some advice, and then I'm forced to tell you something that you may not want to hear. But the point is that that's my responsibility to be open and honest with you and tell you the truth, because the point of this gathering is tazkiyah. I'm not sitting here, and I don't expect you to come so that we can be best friends and we can just, you know, smile at one another and ignore our own deficiencies. The whole purpose of this gathering is tazkiyah. So sometimes I will tell you things that you don't like to hear. But that's part of the responsibility. That's part of the covenant that exists between teacher and student. That when an issue arises and I'm asked about it, I have to tell you the truth. I have to tell you, look, you have to drop this aspect in your life or it's going to destroy you. That's a responsibility that I have. And when you come here, your responsibility is when I tell you that you listen to it. Now, sometimes I tell somebody something and they'll go and ask five other people. Because why? Because that opinion didn't sit well with them. But I'm not looking at what the fiqh is. I can tell you the fatwa, that's easy. What I'm telling you is what's the taqwa. What is the thing that you need to realize in order to preserve your state with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you should understand that. So anyway, in the end, tazkiyah is going to occur. Now either we do it in this world, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do it to us in the hereafter. And I guarantee you, it will not be fun. In the end, we will inherit Jannah. That's part of the shahada. It's what part of the covenant that we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. But there's a certain responsibility. So when we see the sharia, when we see the sunnah, and we see these things that we're supposed to inculcate them in this world. It's so much easier. It's so much easier, and it will result in al-falah, which is actually the goal of each and every one of us. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to purify ourselves in this world and to be among those who directly enter Jannah on that day when the purification will be extremely, extremely difficult. وَآخُرَ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ